Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Hey, BA fam, please follow us on Apple Podcasts and keep our audience growing. If your iPhone recently upgraded to iOS 14.5, head to Apple Podcasts, search for Brown Ambition, and click on the plus button in the upper right-hand corner. Do that and you'll be following our show. You can also follow us on Spotify, Stitcher, or the Amazon Music app. And Android users, we didn't forget about you. You can find us on Google Podcasts.
Hey, I'm back! Woo! I'm black! And we're Brown Ambition.
Oh my goodness. Welcome back, Tiffany.
I know. It feels so good to be back. Honestly, I woke up this morning. This is my first day of, like, you know, back at work. And I was like, one more day. But then I had my first call with the team. And I was like, I love it here.
Oh, good. Okay, so you didn't have, like, the Monday scare, or what is it, the Sunday scaries coming back?
Yes. No, okay. I was like, you know, yesterday it was just, I'm used to waking up and literally being like, I can do whatever I want. And so initially I was like, wait, I have responsibilities. So I wasn't sure how I felt about it, but then talking to the team and they were just so excited and the projects that we're working on. And I honestly love doing the Budget Nista, but the time away, it was like my chance to reconnect with Tiffany. I had not hung out with her in a long, long time. So it's not fun. Like, you know, it hasn't. So it was like, Tiffany, it's cute that you do Budget Nista, but there's also Tiffany. So don't forget about her. So it was just a really great time to reconnect. 6 weeks. I took 3 of the weeks to go on vacay. And then three in a row? No, like the first week I needed like a real decompress. I told my husband, everybody leave me alone. I rented a beach house right next to the border. And remember, Amanda, we had like our long, like delicious talk. That was awesome.
When I was walking the world. I was like, I probably can't expect a 2-hour phone call from Tiffany every day of her hiatus.
But it was great. And honestly, I walked the boardwalk. I went back to being vegan. I got so much exercise in. Although I have not lost any weight, my body is shapely, honey. Like, I lost inches. I just feel really good. And I took 2 weeks to kind of hang out with my my niece and my nephew. Like, my sister was so grateful because, like, every other day I was like, I'm coming to pick up the kids. I'm taking them to the zoo. I'm coming to pick up the kids. I'm taking them on a little hike for like 4 hours. And she was like, is this real life? I love you. So that was really a lot of fun. And then I hung out with my family a lot and at Superman and Supergirl. Then I took a 1 week vacation to Asheville, North Carolina, about 5 days. I wanted to see the Biltmore. Because I love historic homes. And I was like, you know, I've always too wanted to see like the Blue Mountains, you know,
of Asheville. The Blue Ridge Mountains?
Yes, they're beautiful. Yeah. The Biltmore is, I don't even have the words for it. It was so beautiful. And then the last week we went to Florida Keys. And that was amazing. Like, it was.
That is not the Jersey Shore.
No, at all. It was very much, it was giving Jamaica without the accents. Okay. So that was with the family. So Biltmore I did by myself. The shore I did by myself, but then invited like my sister and the kids for a night to spend the night. And then Florida I did with the, you know, my husband and my bonus baby, my bonus daughter. And so it was exactly, you know, sometimes you're like, I was worried that I wasn't, you know, I was like, I don't want to just sit home, but I also don't want to give myself tasks because you know how we are. Like, and then, you know, like first week I was like taking courses. My husband was like, What are you doing? I was like, oh, I started this trading course. I'm totally going to learn to trade.
And that's what you told me the day we talked. Yes. You're like, I'm going to learn how to trade. Okay.
And then after 3 days in, I was like, this is not fun, Tiffany. This is supposed to be a break, girl. You can learn to trade on your own time, on Budgetista time. This is Tiffany time. So when I tell you I've read at least 10 books, Mandy, it's been, because I was really like a big reader.
Yeah.
Like, and then I just didn't get a chance to, you know, I just never gave Tiffany a chance to be Tiffany. So I stopped reading as much, but I forgot how much I enjoyed reading. And I read some really great books. I found myself reading a lot of amazing kind of memoirs from like dope people and being inspired by their journey and like their journey allowing me to see my journey differently. Like, oh, you're not crazy. Like how you're feeling is normal. This is, I read, Yvonne Orji's, what is it called? Bamboozled by Jesus. That was really good. I was like, look, like I was like, not to say I was surprised it was good, but especially once you got into the meat and potatoes, it was really good about reconnecting me back to spirituality and like how it can, she really makes sure that God plays like a role in her everyday life. It's not just like this, like, oh, off to the side. And it was a reminder that like, oh, you know, I haven't been connected to a higher source. And then I listened to Elaine Welteroth, More Than Enough. Mm. That's such a great book about her story and how she became this Teen Vogue editor-in-chief and all that happened and how she got there. That was great. Then randomly, I listened to Magnolia, you know, Magnolia Story, Chip and Joanna.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was good. I was like, wow.
They have a memoir?
Yes, it was really good about it. It's actually less, I thought it was going to be about how did they become, you know, Chip and Joanna Gaines of HGTV. No, what I didn't realize is like they had already done 90% of the work by the time the show came along. So it was kind of like, oh, wow. The show didn't actually make them. The show would put a spotlight on what they made. And I was like, oh. And I had to like mentally apologize to Chip because I'm not going to lie, I kind of thought he was an idiot.
They make him look so like the dumb jock.
Yes.
But, you know, TV will do that.
No, Mandy, when I tell you he's the business like genius behind it all, I was like, wait, what?
Mm.
I was not to say Joanna obviously is smart, but like she is the creative one. Joanna says, I think that we should, you know, like breed crocodiles, and Chip figures it out and finances it and figures, you know what I mean? So she has like the idea, and sometimes and many times the idea comes from him, but it actually hit his part, because it was a, you know, they both read the book. His part made me want to go and read his book. And I did. I think it's called Capital Gains. And I was even more impressed. He's got an amazing business mind and how he thinks about growth. And I was like, so sorry, Chip, you're not a dummy. And now I'm listening to Shoe Dog, Phil Knight's book about Nike. He's the co-founder of Nike.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, if you are a business owner, I implore you to read or listen to Shoe Dog, because it is the realest, like, I guess, memoir or story about a business. It literally, he failed for like 15 years straight. And so, you know, all these illusions that you see on social media of like, I make my money and I only work 2 hours a year. Like, you listen to Shoe Dog and you're like, oh my God, how did he keep going? It's such a really good like book. So yeah, I read, like I said, a ton of books, and they really helped to reset how I thought about my journey and my life. And they were just really interesting. And so like, I'm just full of so many like lessons and bursting with like, I don't know, I'm just rejuvenated and my cup is refilled.
Oh, I love that. I only had we missed you so much, but we had a wonderful opportunity to get some guests on the show, but we're so excited to have you. I'm saying we, I'm so excited. And I imagine all the listeners are so excited. I mean, I want to talk about taking time off and rejuvenating because that's something, I mean, you missed a lot while you were gone, but nothing groundbreaking. I mean, I kind of started my own business and got a Tesla. And,
I know, you told me.
And I probably gained inches. I didn't lose any inches. Yeah, a lot has gone down, but I just took a mini little, I didn't take a 6-week hiatus, but I took a weekend hiatus. We went to this farm in the Catskills. And I don't know, all I can say is I drank a bottle of wine last weekend, Tiffany. And I was on the internet, and I cannot even tell you what search query I typed into the Google gods, but I found this farm that is like the perfect, the perfect getaway for a family who wants to be outdoorsy, but doesn't want to do the work to be outdoorsy. So it was like semi-glamping, but you get a big private tent with beds and a toilet and a sink, but you're in the woods and you get to cook on a stove, but like they provide it for you. And yes, you can have a wood-burning oven in your tent, but they give you the wood and they chop it for you. And then sure, they do, you know, pizza night on Saturday and they do wood fire pizzas and they have all the animals and oh my God, it was so it was so fun. And I mean, I slept 12 hours. I went to bed at 8 p.m. last night and I woke up at 8 a.m. this morning because I was just so dog tired chasing my child around the farm for 3 days. But I'm with you about like no social media and taking a little hiatus because it was off the grid, off the grid. There was no Wi-Fi, no electricity other than the lanterns they would give you, you know, to see in the dark at your cabin. But it was in the fresh air. When I tell you, seeing my son, like Rio, and you missed this too. So Rio, actually, we've been learning more about his speech. He hasn't really been talking as much. He's 19 months now.
Okay.
And he's, and you're a preschool teacher, so you might know a little bit about this, but, or you were anyway. He's, you know, he's got some kind of a speech delay, but he loves to communicate and just seeing him out there, I mean, he literally squealed when we got dropped off at the farm on Friday night. He squealed when he saw the chickens and saw the cows, and it was wonderful. And it was just a weekend. And don't tell husband, but I already booked another weekend at the same farm.
Yes,
for October.
Yeah. No, it sounds awesome. Now, question, because a friend of mine, her daughter is 2, and she was concerned. Not that she doesn't say anything, but not sentences. It's like a word here, a word there. And she was like, oh, you know, I was like, well, 1, she's 2. So, you know, like that's when kids are really, I had a cousin who had speech delay until he was 5. And now he's like a neuroscientist. So let's not, you know, I was like, don't get ahead of yourself, sis. You know, like sometimes people like literally now, one of the things that I suggested and question, do you speak to Rio in Spanish? Or does Enrique speak to Rio in Spanish?
Not really. No, I know that was something that crossed our minds too. We can't. Okay. I can't even pretend like he's raised completely bilingual, except he does see his grandparents fairly regularly, and they, of course, speak to him in Spanish. They don't, they don't speak English. But I will say, you know, for anyone who's listening and they have a young, like a toddler who's maybe not, if you're just concerned, you know, I don't have any kid to compare him to, especially not during quarantine when he hasn't been around any other kids. So basically, I told myself I'd wait till 18 months and then I'd ask the pediatrician. Mm-hmm. And she never really seems to care that much about any of my concerns. She's always like, yeah, it's normal. It's normal. Which is great most of the time. But when it came to the 18-month checkup and she said, you know, it's probably fine. Just wait and see. Something told me like I want to advocate for him. I want to take him to a specialist. What I found out though, and maybe other places have this too, but in our county, in Westchester County in New York, they actually offer a free taxpayer-funded early intervention program, and you get access to speech therapists, like ongoing therapy, evaluations, all that kind of stuff with excellent, you know, resources right here in our county that are completely free. So I did drop a couple $100 for a private session with a specialist just to get a second opinion because the county program, it took a little bit for them to get back to me. But we're at the very beginning. They all agree that he's not speaking as they would expect for his age. He doesn't have very many words at all. Mm-hmm. But you know what was like hard about reaching out for help in that case? And this is maybe just sounds dumb, but part of me like didn't want him to think I doubted him. Does that make sense? Like, I didn't want him to think, oh, mommy, not that he doesn't even know what's going on, but I don't know. Part of me just felt like reaching out for help and getting him like tutoring or a speech therapy was like me doubting his own, because I get it. And what's helped me so much with my journey through postpartum anxiety and depression has been really just giving into him and giving into his own schedule, his own way of doing things, his own way of, and it's just worked so beautifully. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten over that. I'm like, it can't hurt to get him in some kind of therapy. And I just can't wait to talk to him.
Mm-hmm. I have seen literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of kids come through, and we've had kids. I've seen 2-year-old girls and boys who are just like Lisa, for example, my baby sister. She was so verbal. The doctor was like, wait, what? But remember, she had four older chatty sisters who were like, what's baby talk? Because I was 10. And I'm like, girl, first of all, what did I say? So Lisa, she got basically, instead of some people are raised up, she was dragged up. And so that played a huge role in her ability to quickly get with the program, because my mom always said, like, we raised Lisa. She's like, I'm tired. This is number five. She belongs to you. Just make sure she doesn't, you know, put her finger in the socket or, like, you know, eat dirt. Those are your parameters. So, yeah. But then you have, like I said, my cousin, you know, they were really worried because he was like five, and they were like, oh, okay. He doesn't really say many words. And the words he's saying, he's having a hard time. And now literally, I think he has two master's degrees. And
I need all these stories, y'all. Send us DMs on Instagram at Prime Ambition Podcast. Send me all your stories, because I cannot hear enough of them.
So it's just like, you know, and so I guess some people literally, there's just delay for whatever reason. It's almost like, have you ever seen kids who are really short, even through high school? You kind of figure, well, this is your height. And then all of a sudden they actually grow the inches in college, because some people have like a growth delay, especially boys. And then their height doesn't come in until after 18, which is not unheard of, but it seems so weird. Cause you're like, oh, people really develop, you know, at their own pace. It doesn't mean that you don't keep an eye on it. Like you've met Roman, you see, like, he's like the freaking boy genius. Carol was telling me, she was like, girl, at school, they were like, does Roman speak? And she's like, I wouldn't know, cause he doesn't talk to me. Like, really? She's like, yeah, girl. She's like, I was like, wait, because she's like, he was my first, so I didn't know when he was supposed to start talking. She just thought I was normal that he's like two and saying nothing. And it wasn't until Amelia came, his sister, then all of a sudden he had a lot to say, because he was telling her where to go, what not to do. Yeah. And she was really shocked, like, wow. Because you would think, like, oh, well, he's going to talk to mommy at home. And she said, literally, like, Roman said nothing. They were worried about him. They wanted to get him evaluated, and he just was mute with them. And she's like, he barely said anything at home. And then Amelia came, and all of a sudden it was like, stop, baby. Amelia, come here. She's like, wait.
Mine.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, wait, who are you talking to? And so I just share that to say that, like, there are so many reasons it could be, and it almost always ends up fine.
I know it'll end up fine. He's just so damn smart and so observant. Like, this child... He was begging for me to pick him up while I was making dinner the other day. And I gave him, dragged his little stool around, and I was like, here, watch mama make this guacamole. You know what he took? I was like, can you shake the salt shaker over the bowl? He reached for a lemon wedge and said, mama, we need a little acidity. And he squeezed that lemon like he's been watching Ina Garten on his tablet and not Peppa the Pig. Like, he's so smart and observant. And the other big thing is that he started daycare.
Okay.
It's been a week of daycare. So I'm really hopeful that between daycare, having around other kids, and then this free, I mean, it's a free early intervention program. So I think it's a wonderful resource. I pay taxes. Let me get some of this, you know, stuff that we pay for. So that's where I'm at. Anyway, you're back. What else has been going on? I'm a business owner.
I know. I was going to say, so how does that feel? I mean, yeah, I know we had our daytime 2-hour chat, and I was so excited for you. And I told you, and anybody who's a business owner or thinking about being one, but if you've been in the game for at least 2+ years or so, everyone will all agree, nothing grows you up, Manny. I'm telling you, you will be a brand new woman. I'm not even, I'm like the Tiffany from 10 years ago. I'm like, who is she? She's like my daughter. Like, nothing grows you up. I think, like, motherhood, I'm assuming, and starting a business. What it pulls out of you, there's this, what is this? His name is Jim Rohn. Remember I was telling about Jim Rohn? He's passed away, but he was like a really famous, like, motivational speaker.
Yes, yes.
One of the things he said to one of his mentees is, he said, I think you ought to, you know, start a business and become a millionaire. And he was like, why? He said, not for the money, but for what it will make of you. And that's exactly what it is for entrepreneurship. What it will make of you. It is just going to pull out the very best of you. It's going to challenge you in ways you didn't even think possible. You're going to become like, you're going to feel like Superwoman. Like, how did I do this? So I'm excited for your journey. How are you feeling about it?
You know, when you were talking about Chip and Joanna doing 90% of the work and then they got the TV show, I think the past 6 weeks, or how long has it been? Like, a little over a month that I have been Mandy Money Media LLC since I launched my business. It has been the most exciting, like, I don't know, the most exciting, invigorating, affirming experience that I've ever had. I mean, it just, the work has been flooding, Tiffany. Like, I am busy. Like, people want to work with me. And I've realized that it's not like when I started a business that I was starting from scratch. I have a decade-long career in media and in reporting and in content. And I've been an entrepreneur. We launched Brown Ambition. I was a 9-to-5 entrepreneur when we launched Brown Ambition. And for me, it's just been, I feel excited. I feel kind of like, man, I can't wait to see what happens to her, as in me. Like, I can't wait to see where she goes. I feel this new sense of drive and purpose, and it just feels so, it feels so right. It's just like, I'm exactly where I need to be. I'm so proud of the work that I've done so far for other companies and for all the amazing people that I've worked with. I'm so grateful for those opportunities. Some of them I'm still working with now, you know, either as a consultant or as a freelancer. And that's also wonderful. And I'm so grateful for all that experience. And I am beyond ready for this new chapter. So y'all can find me on TikTok. Yes, I have been leaning into TikTok. I'm figuring it out. Like, you can find me at Mandy Money on TikTok and everywhere else. And, you know, my real focus, and look, Tiffany, if you had listened to the show a couple of months ago, you might have heard a very different tune from me talking about where I was at in my career at that time. And I have been getting messages from some listeners wanting to know, you know, what happened? This is a big change. I just want to let you guys know that I really had this moment of aha when it came to what I wanted to do and what I wanted to contribute to the world. And I really realized that what I want to contribute, it can't be contained working for any one place. That was the right decision for me. And so I started my own business just to really be in complete control of what work I'm doing and what, you know, what I'm saying, my own voice. And that has been such a positive impact on me. On top of that, have you guys heard of Brown Ambition? Like, I really do plan to take the other, you know, 50% of my time or more and really focus on continuing to build and grow our Brown Ambition audience. So you guys will be seeing a newsletter from us. You may be seeing some live events from us in the future. I'm going to have so much more bandwidth than I never could, you know, give to Brown Ambition now that I'm on my own and in complete control of my schedule. And I'm not trying to like flex here, but what I'm trying to do is just explain to people what can happen when you, I don't know if you had this experience too, but when you go solo, the possibility, like, there is no limit to your earning potential. You know?
Yes. Come on, girl. Already, I'm like moving over the chair. Like, come sit next to me. I done told you, girl. It's good over. Well, it's hard.
I know.
It's hard. Don't get me wrong, but I took my 6-week break, so I didn't die. But
right, that's where I want to be careful, because I am all about like solopreneurship and doing my own thing now. But I had an amazing career, and this is the story that I'm trying to tell right now. Is right when I started to launch my business, who did I call first? Helen, my financial planner. You know Helen. You guys have known. I hopped on the phone with her, and I said, Helen, and my husband too. I was like, you know, I kind of want to go independent. What do you think? And she said, Mandy, let me show you something. And she pulled up a spreadsheet with our finances up on the screen over the past 5 years that she and I have been working together. I have 10x'd my net worth from 70K to 700K in less than 5 years. She said, Mandy, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And that was really, you know, and I did that because I worked and I had a career and I had, you know, standard 9-to-5 jobs, and for a bunch of other reasons that, you know, I'm working on telling those stories. But I say all that to tell people that there is no one right path. It's not like entrepreneurship is some key to unlocking, you know, millions and millions of dollars, but it is the chapter that I'm starting right now. You know, 10 years working for amazing companies did not do me wrong. I have built an incredible life, and I've learned so, so much. But yeah, I'm really freaking excited for the next chapter.
And ooh, I can't wait to talk more business with you. One of the things I realized, like, on my time away, of how much I actually enjoy like mentoring and talking to people about business. Because I used to be like, well, I'm not an expert, and I'm not, but I'm someone who is doing it, who has seen so many ups and downs. It's like I started the business, started taking it seriously 2010, so it's been 11 years, but technically, really, it's been 13, you know? The first 2 years, I was still teaching preschool, so I really wasn't doing Budgetista. So really, like, 11, like, real years. And, you know, y'all know that last year, we hit the our first eight-figure year of just over $10 million in business. And so I've seen so many things. And I'll say this, it was what I wish I would have known, and this is for anyone listening. What I have found is that when you're on the right path, and you're, you know, you're trying something new, but it's the path you're supposed to be on, the beginning, you get a, I don't want to say like a lucky strike. You get a lot of grace is given to you in the beginning because it's meant to say you're on the right path. Don't give up. You're right here, right here. But, and I, and like so many of us, make the mistake of thinking, this how it be. It's not. But so meaning.
Are you about to burst my honeymoon period?
No, like for this honeymoon period, I want you to lean in and get as much as basically like, you know, you've gotten, what are those things called when they let you go first? Like in golf or whatever, they give you like a, what is that thing called in golf?
When
they
don't
give
ask you like, me about golf. Oh, Express like this, pass?
Or like extra points or like, you know, you get to, if you're a squirrel, they let you into the park first before anybody else, you know, like, okay. And then, you know, so basically this is a really great time because it's one, this is a, it's a clear indication that you're on the right path because of how things have been flowing. And two, it means that lean in really hard, gain as much as you can now because the challenges will come, but they'll come because you've gotten good. Like I was talking to Tracy, my sister, you know, she's my publicist and she's amazing. Okay. She just started her business last year. What? She's already six figures her first year. And she was telling me how, like, you know, because now she's having her, because she had her, you know, her initial boost where it was okay, flow, and now there's challenges. And she's like, what am I doing wrong? I'm like, girl, it's called business. And I said, she's like, does it get easier? I said, no, it actually gets harder, but you get better. And so that's what will happen is that, you know, initially you'll have this honeymoon phase and period. It might last 6 months, it might last a year, it might last longer. And then you will meet with challenges because you're growing.
Yeah.
And it's just growing pains. And one of the huge takeaways that I got from reading, Joanna said something specific that she learned from Chip, but it was all the success stories I was reading in these biographies or memoirs, it was repeated over and over just with different language, but I felt like she said it best. When she first met Chip, I mean, I think you could tell if you guys watch Fixer Upper reruns or whatever, you watched it before, you could tell that Joanna's kind of like the safety girl, you know, like, I don't think that's such a good idea. She's the Chucky to Chip's Tommy, if you will, if you watch Rugrats. Like she's I err on the cautious side, which is my nature and the nature of many women. And what she found that Chip was the opposite. Chip was like, let's jump out the window and hope our parachute opens up. And he would make decisions that would put them in like financial peril every few months. And she said in the beginning, just when she said she felt they got their footing, whatever new project that he had come up with, because he wouldn't tell her, he'd be like, surprise, I bought a houseboat. We're in debt for $300,000. What you think? And she said every few months she would find herself bawling and be like, Chip, why? And she was like, you know, but then they would figure it out and they would grow to the next level. Figure it out and grow to the next level. And she said she realized that Chip was always going to be Chip and that she had to learn to increase her capacity for challenges, increase her capacity for failure. You have to learn to increase your capacity because what will happen is it's very easy to stay safe, but if you want to be great, you're going to have to accept that this thing might not work. You might fail in spectacular fashion, or it might work in a way that you never imagined. You don't get to seven, then figures, then eight figures, and maybe even nine figures or more one day without expanding, you know, what you're capable of and jumping for it and failing. And so like, I just gave you that advice that like, you know, right now things are really great because they ought to be because you are now reaping what you've sown over the last 10 years. But now you are also simultaneously sowing what you will reap in the next 10. So just keep that in mind. But I'm super excited for you.
Thank you for those pearls of wisdom. You can sign me up. I'll be your first mentee. I've been your mentee all this time, it feels like, too. Well, yeah, more to come, y'all. Just hang out. I'm excited about this new chapter. And I think it's going to mean big things for Brown Ambition as well. I just feel like this brand that we've built together the past 6 years is just getting started. They call us, I feel like we're old ladies in this whole podcasting game, but y'all better, all these youngins coming out in post-quarantine, like y'all better watch out for Brown Ambition. We are here. And that's in large part to our listeners too. So thank y'all for always supporting us.
Yeah, no, honestly, it's been like an amazing ride. We're going to be trying some new things with y'all, connecting with y'all in new ways, hopefully seeing some of y'all in person. So like, watch out for some of the announcements that will come up. We're just really excited to just connect even further and just hear from y'all and pour right back into y'all as you've poured into us. So
yay, Tiffany's back.
Hey, 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 BA fam, if you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. That's incredible. This is according to Indeed data and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 150 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Okay, it's smart. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Brown Ambition. Just go to Indeed.com/Brown Ambition right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Brown Ambition. Terms and conditions apply. You need to hire. You need Indeed.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
It feels so good to be back. I am a little rusty, but I do recall that we have a thing called Boost Break. Is that still a thing?
Yeah, we still do that around here.
So I have a boost. So I bought a company. Hello.
Yeah. Yes. So I walked. Okay. Yes. 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 Tell me. Yes. Tell us about it. Okay.
So I have an idea for a company, and I'm going to keep it light for now, but it's nothing crazy. I don't have, like, I'm not curing cancer, but I have an idea for like a company that will really help you guys like find the tools and resources you need more easily. And so I've been thinking about this for a while. And then, right before I left, literally the day before I left, I saw that somebody was selling their company and they had, girl, I didn't even tell you. Remember I told you they had 200,000 followers on Insta? Girl, why didn't I come back? They have 270 now. Yes. So
They knew yeah, they were coming.
They have a huge Instagram following. We have 500,000 at Budgetista, but 270 is huge. And then they have Twitter and Instagram. I mean, they have a Facebook group. They have all these resources. And the gentleman that was selling, it's a financial company specifically for Black millennials. And the guy who was selling it, he posted in my Black marketing group. And I was like, yo, I'm interested in learning more. And he was like, oh my God, I'm fanboying. It's you, Tiffany. You're like the perfect person to buy. I hope you buy it. So me and Mandy were talking about it. I was sharing with her all the resources the company came with. And she was like, girl, my friend bought a company. I don't know. Of course, it's the same, but those people wanted like $1 million. And so we did not pay $1 million, not even close. I just can't believe we were able to close the deal. Literally right before I left, I told my COO, here's the max. Like, you know, I authorize you to negotiate with him. And we were able to get it to a price where it's like, wait, what? It was, yeah, the cost of like a really, really, really lavish vacation, which think about that. That's not much at all. But he just was really happy to sell to someone who was going to not, I'm not going to keep his particular company going, but instead we're going to transform it to the company that I already had in mind. So now we don't have to start from scratch. We can start from a higher playing field. So I'm just really, really excited because something like a vision that has been coming to me over and over. Like I had a vision for like Get Good With Money, came true, New York Times bestseller, is selling really well. I had a vision for a 1 week budget, like 10, 13 years ago now when I wrote it, it said to me that like, you're gonna be a millionaire because of this book. I assumed I'd sell enough books to become a millionaire. That did not happen, but it sparked the Budgetista. Like, so all of my visions honestly have come true. Like I put on my vision board, like, you know, sometimes you just get a feeling. And lately this feeling that's been coming up is that I'm going to sell a company for over $50 million. Isn't that crazy? It's like a stubborn
not
vision.
When it's Tiffany.
But it's like this like stubborn, like it's happening. I need you to get ready. And I'm like, what? And so it's just been this stubborn vision that I just can't, every day it pops up in my head. And so I don't know the first thing about how to do so. Well, that's not true. I thought I didn't know the first thing, but I take walks every day now. Something popped into my head when I was listening to one of my books. And it was like, well, the first thing would be maybe to find somebody who sold companies. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And just ask questions. And I'm like, remember you work for Magnify Money. And Nick, who's like the coolest, sold Magnify Money to LendingTree, right?
Yes, I was a part of that sale.
So I was like, you know, like, hey, maybe I'll hit up Nick and say, hey, how'd that go? And then I know other people who've sold companies. And so that's my first order of business. So I'm going to share kind of like that process with y'all because I'm literally starting from scratch. I don't know how to sell a company. I've never done it before. I mean, we've bought one. But yeah, so I'm excited about that because I want to be in a place and space where I am truly working. You know, not that I say I couldn't retire now, but I could, but I want to retire in a way that like, I'm not just retiring myself mentally, but I know like my kids. So I want to work from a space where I'm literally saying no to everything except for the things I really enjoy. Because I'm not working, you know, to think about money. I don't worry about money anymore, but it's still on my mind. And I would love to be able to say no. Plus two, I want to be able to do a profit share with my team because they have put in so much work to be able to, I mean, I don't know, depending how much the company sells for, it might retire some folks. At the very least, pay off some high student loan debts and reset your life. So I'm really excited about what that kind of money can do for not only my family, but for my Unicorn Squad family. I want to build a hospital, like for my Dreamcatcher family, for my BA family. I'm really excited about, because that's coming. It could be in 10, 15 years. It could be in 5 months. It could be in 5 years. I don't know, but I do know that that's coming. So I'm excited about that.
I feel like you've just given like the, commencement address that we all needed for the summer, for this year to come, this new year, what it feels like post-pandemic. Well, I can't wait to, well, I mean, I don't want to ever go to your hospital because I don't want to be sick, but I would love to talk about your hospital in the future. And I mean, the bigger you dream, it makes everyone listening just feel like anything is possible that you can dream up. And no, I don't think 50 million, please, 50 billion, that would be a stretch goal for you. You'll be all right. So I'm going to do a brown break just to balance out. There's way too much just, you know, levity and awesomeness and Black Girl Magic happening right now. So let's take it down a notch. Have you heard about Wendy Williams going off on this woman? I don't even think she knows this actress named Tabitha Brown, who I don't know if she shared a video on social media or wrote an article, but she was celebrating the fact that she has now become so successful that she has been able to retire her husband, Chance, from his job as a Los Angeles police officer. And Wendy Williams, Wendy Williams is like a character unto herself. I'm not going to pretend like I watch her show every day. Because
she's a professional troll.
She's special, okay? And she went on her show and went off about Tabitha and basically projected the failure of her own marriage. Mm-hmm. I know she had like a very public divorce, basically saying that this is the worst thing that Tabitha could have done, that it's going to ruin her relationship, and that it would end up just going down in flames. And I cringe so hard because, for one thing, it's nothing to be ashamed of for a man to leave his job and to be, quote unquote, retired by a wife. I think that should be celebrated. And it's also like, why would you don't know anything about this woman. Mm-hmm. Why would you project your own failure onto her when ultimately it's up to us, you know, how our relationships work out. And you never know what's going on in anybody's marriage. I think it's absolutely beautiful that in order to, it's not even about repaying him for what he gave her, but if you actually listen to the story, you know, clearly he supported her in her career for a long, 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 like years, many years, maybe even decades of time together. And he has his own passions to pursue.
Yes.
And she was saying, listen, we are good. You can let go of this job that you've kept for the security of this family, and you were able to pursue your passions and career. I'm like, what's more beautiful than that in a partnership? What?
Because, you know, Wendy is so like, I, for the 6 weeks, I wasn't on social, but I think my friend told me about it. So like, I Googled it and I saw like, you know, Wendy saying what she said. And so back, because, you know, I love tea. So background on Wendy's marriage, her husband, Kevin, has been trash for a long time. Like, I remember when Wendy was like, for those of you, especially on the East Coast, child, Wendy was like, we all listened to Wendy on the radio show, on radio. She was captivating. And her husband was trash then. She had written this book called Wendy's Got the Heat, where her son, who is now 20, her husband cheated on her while she was pregnant, even though they had a hard time getting pregnant. So he's been trash and, you know, just not a really nice guy. And there's been allegations of physical abuse and things. And so just a few years ago, I don't know who Wendy pissed off at the Daily Mail, because I thought the Daily Mail was out of like the UK, but they did a 1 year long expose that they had been following Wendy's husband. He had a whole nother woman that he bought a house for, like in the same neighborhood as his house with Wendy, car for, and they had a child. Literally, he was like basically married to two women. And so when the expose came out, that's why Wendy ended up divorcing him. I don't believe she really wanted to, but when the whole world knew, like, what? Your husband has like a whole nother wife? What? Mm. It was really embarrassing for her. And she actually, because Wendy used to, I don't know if she's still, she was an addict. And so she actually ended up being hospitalized. She took it really hard. So to be kind in that respect, you know, I don't know, you know, Wendy and like what she's going through, but I guess she attributes what happened to her marriage because she, you know, was the main breadwinner in, you know, her family. But from what I understand, he did actually manage her, but I don't know. But Tab did what they call a sanctified read. A read, honey. Let me tell you something. Don't be fooled by Miss Tab was like, let me gather you together real quick under the name of Jesus, okay? She read Wendy for filth. She said, Wendy, I know you so hurt, girl. I pray that you have a marriage, that somebody loves you enough. Basically, she was basically saying, girl, don't be mad because he didn't want you. But she didn't say it like that. But it was like, honestly, it was really beautiful. But it was definitely a sanctified read. And Tab explained, which she didn't have to. But, you know, I'm glad that, you know, for the larger audience, like, you know, people get a better understanding. She said when they first, I don't know where they're from. She's from down south somewhere. But when they first moved to Los Angeles, she's always wanted to be an actress. And she told her husband, if you allow me, just give me 5 years. I want to quit my job and just try this acting thing. Please, 5 years, baby. That's all I need. If it doesn't work out, I'll get a job. And we just, you know, we just both working. He said, okay. Girl, 15 years later, this man, she had not found anything, but she was, he held up that agreement. I will take care of the family. You try your dream. She said, what would I look like after 15 years? He held, you know, there were things he wanted to do and couldn't. He put his life on the line as a Los Angeles police officer for 15 years so she could pursue her dreams. And it finally worked. Of course she was like, babe, I don't want you to put your life on the line anymore. Every day could be the day he doesn't come back. And she said that. So I thought it was absolutely beautiful. He already coaches kids, apparently, and he has a nonprofit that he hasn't been able to dedicate as much time to. And now he can do that and coach even more kids. He seems like an amazing man, Avi. They've been married for like 23 years. So, you know, she's like, girl, we have been through, she's like, me and my husband have been together. And we was broke. She said, we've been broke longer than we've had money. We've only had money in the last year or so. So we good, Wendy. Don't worry about us. And so I just want to give some backstory.
Yeah, thank you for that. I thought I was breaking news for you coming out. I'm like, let me tell Tiffany what's been happening on these here internet since she's been gone. Meanwhile, you told me more than I know. Anyway, just stop showing me up. I got to bring my A game. Anyway, no, but let me just, like, this is what Tiffany and I, maybe you agree, but my marriage would not work if there were two Mandys. It would go down in flames. I'm talking about it would off the rails. I am Chip. When you talked about Chip and Joanna, mm-hmm. I am Chip, okay? I am like, I'm going to quit this really well-paying job and I'm going to ask this company to pay me twice as much salary plus a sign-on bonus. I'm just going to go for it. Okay, you cool with that, babe? Okay, sure. Like my husband has always been very stable, very steady. You know, he works for the government. He has his pension. You know, he's got the healthcare. I couldn't do what I'm doing now. He has given me the freedom. He's given me trust and he's given me the space that I need to just figure my shit out. And he is providing healthcare. And I don't want to even like try to pretend like I am paying for healthcare right now. We are very fortunate to have his healthcare in this country right now in the US. It is hard to start a business and go out on your own unless you have a partner who can provide healthcare. So let's not get that twisted.
Yes.
And you've talked about that with Superman as well.
I always say, like, my husband's always like, oh, babe, I'm like, are you serious, sir? You know, we do IVF, right? We have probably spent at minimum $300,000 is what would have cost us to do as many rounds of IVF as I've done. I have paid $10 a copay. That's it. $10. And I'm just like, yo, his, you know, like, well, one, because my husband still works, and what he brings to the table, like, it just, the stability, the safe place to land, you know, and the healthcare shoe. Like, I'm not gonna lie, until we got married, it was yoga and water. And I was like, please, Lord, don't let me get sick for real. For real. I mean, I commend anybody who's going out there doing, you know, who's entrepreneur on their own. I know the first probably 6 or 7 years of my entrepreneur journey was without insurance, and it's scary. You know, mm-hmm. And so
absolutely.
You know, so yeah, I just say all that to say that my husband and I told him when we were getting together, I said, let's make a rule that we follow our own rules. Like, if you know, like if you want to cook and I don't, that's our rule. The outside world doesn't get to say no sisters, no brothers, no moms, no dads. You know, we don't have to share with them that, like, oh, you know, secretly this is how we do things, because if it works for us, let it work for us, because people will have you feel bad. Because I used to travel a lot. And when we got married, some of his friends were like, you still letting your wife travel? I was like, what? We were traveling when we were dating. And so he was like, I don't know if I feel comfortable. I'm like, babe, we dated for, you know, like 3 years and I traveled way more. Don't let those people get in your head. Okay. Because guess what? I'm still getting on the plane. So if you have a relationship, whatever works for you, it's what works for you. There's no society norms that you have to adhere to. You really get to decide what your relationship looks like, and it's best to keep most things to yourself. Like, if you notice, I don't post Superman like I used to. Like, I used to do this whole thing about Superman and Supergirl and Hubert. No, I don't do that as much anymore, just because I never got any negative feedback. But as I get, you know, as I get older, I just realize I just want, you know, some things for us. And I also, too, don't want to, because social media can be toxic. I think we all know that. And 6 weeks off social media, I didn't realize just how toxic it could be when I started to just feel better. Like social media will literally have you feeling bad about a good life. And I'm like, let me not throw like my relationship into the stinky stew of social media.
Yeah, and just live that for yourselves. Mm-hmm. I completely agree. So shout out to Tab. I can call her Tab too. Shout out to Tabitha Brown for reading Wendy Williams. Wendy Williams, please sit down. You know, work on whatever, you know, I agree. You feel pain if you're projecting that onto someone else's marriage, but we only know the story that we are writing ourselves. We cannot expect anyone else to understand it. So, I mean, I commend anyone for sharing, and we do a lot in our show. We share a lot about ourselves, and that does open us up to critique and to questioning, and that's just a choice that we've made. But I will say emphatically, I could not be the success that I am financially, career-wise, anything, and who knows where I'll be, without my husband and his job, you know, and the stability and his faith in me and his support and his little shrug and a sigh like, okay, I guess we're doing this now. You know, that's all I need, a shrug and a sigh. You know what I mean? All right. Well, thank y'all for rocking with us. Thank you, Tiffany, for coming back. I'm so glad that your Eat, Pray, Love hiatus did not also include, man, that podcast. I don't want to do that. So, all right. Well, y'all, don't forget to follow and comment and review the show. But we would also love you to share this show with three people. That's three. Text them a link to our show on whatever streaming platform you prefer. Tell your mama, tell your sister, your cousin, tell someone about Brown Ambition.
Yep. Send them to brownambitionpodcast.com. If you don't know where to send them, that's like the perfect place, because we just want to reach and teach, you know, and hug up on more people. So.
All right. Until next week.
Bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.